It's a good thing all this food up here is not cooked. Staring up at me as it is. See it all around me. It's a good thing. I want us this evening, as we come to the close of this Lord's Day and thinking about, as we have sung this day and had a lesson on singing and worship and thinking about praising God and thinking about thanking Him, I think it's right and proper for us to consider a passage of Scripture that was closely akin to a part of a religious ceremony that would take place with the Israelites right after the wave offering was presented. The high priest would bless those who were there in attendance. He would bless the congregation of Israel. And number 6 is our text, verses 24 through 26. And these are verses that I find to be very encouraging, but also, to me, this is what it's all about. And he was reminding the high priest in this process, reminding the congregation of Israel, this is what the Lord is doing for thee. In fact, verse 27, it says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Of course, this is God to Moses, and Moses explaining to Aaron, this is what's going to take place. But he says, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and then I will bless them. And I think about the great blessings. We're taught to, by song, to think about our blessings, to count our many blessings, to number them. And what that does for us is to remind us how God has blessed us and how He has taken care of us, how He has provided for us, and how He has oversaw all the things that we're a part of and has, Lord willing, been glorified by our lives. Thinking about Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, thinking about that spiritual service. And so as we close then this evening, thinking about these particular verses, I just want to break down these particular phrases and give us some thoughts on this particular blessing of the high priest. Some have referred to this particular passage as the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament, and I think it could that's a pretty good title for it. But it is a blessing that was given to the children of Israel, administered by Aaron, the high priest, or his sons officiating with him. But it has also been referred to as the priestly benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. According to the Mishnah of the Jews, this blessing was actually something that was read every day in the temple, not just as it was mandated by God to be read after the wave offering, and then the high priest would bless the congregation on that time of the year. But this was something that was later put into practice and done on a regular basis. And so that after every service, this would kind of be the closing. And so I thought it fitting to be a night sermon and thinking about the closing of our day. And this is the blessing then that the Lord gives unto us. And we're reminded by that. That first phrase, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, a general blessing to begin with, in the sense that the word bless is the idea of prosperity, it's the idea of well-being, and this coming from, obviously, the great giver, the great source of every good and every perfect gift. That is, every good and perfect gift that cometh from above, the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1, verse 17. James reminds us about this. And so this idea of this blessing is the idea of prosperity in the sense of our well-being. And so he says, the Lord bless thee. The idea of the word keep is the same idea of guarding. You think about guarding or protecting. And so you have this general blessing given that is the idea of prosperity and well-being, but also at the same time protection and guarding and watching over the Lord's people. Today, the Lord obviously blesses as well. These blessings come through Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Keep your place here, but look with me in Matthew chapter 5. Somebody should maybe preach a sermon sometime on Sermon on the Mount. That'd be a good sermon. Seems like we spent a great deal of time there recently. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 3, he begins the Beatitudes, and this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, or shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, he says. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. He tells us how to be, that we are going to be blessed by God. But it's a state of mind that we have to find as children of God. And so we spend a great deal of time talking about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about the inner man and making sure that everything on the inside is working properly, that our hearts are as they should be, that we're seeking righteousness, that we are peacemakers, and that we mourn over our sins, and that we are doing everything that we should be doing as children of God. Then we have these blessings promised to us. Remember then also that the Lord is our protection. He is our keeper. In fact, the psalmist says so. Psalm 121 and verse 5. David says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." That idea of the shade of protection that David himself knew very well something about as he was chased from one wilderness to the next by Saul and his armies as they were trying to run down David and obviously have him killed. But you have David, who knew something about the protecting hand of God, and he writes that the Lord is thy keeper. And if we are going to be called the children of God, then it's high time that we put our proper put things in proper perspective, if you will, thinking about what God has done for us and how each day of our life He has protected us. He has watched over us. He has provided for us in that day. And that's why it's so important for us to do as the song says, to count our many blessings, because daily, on a daily basis, we can go back and look at the end of the day and know that God has watched over us, that He has protected us, that He has provided for us. I think Philippians 4 is probably one of the most encouraging passages, probably the most encouraging chapter, if you will, in the Bible, because for the child of God especially, you think about what he's talking about. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he tells us how we need to be thinking. And we go about our daily life not thinking about awful things, but thinking about things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, thinking about the truth and so forth, and all of these things. In other words, staying focused on the task at hand, thinking about God who is ever before us, who is protecting us. And then I like how the Apostle Paul sums up at the end of that chapter. He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." And so we have His providential care on our behalf. He's providing for us, but He's also, yes, protecting us, watching over us. And so He says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." The next verse says, "The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." Indicating God's favor and His grace, obviously, upon His children. The idea of grace is something that is often misunderstood and mistaken by some. But you have at the very outset, when you start talking about grace, you're talking about God's favor shining upon mankind. Well, His grace has appeared unto all men. The Apostle Paul told Titus, the preacher, that this grace from God has appeared to all men. How so? In the form of the gospel. There is where we meet the grace of God. There is where we're blessed by God's gracious gift, the Son. And think about what He has done for us there again. It causes us to render obedience. It causes us then to render thanksgiving unto Him. It causes us to want to praise Him, to want to worship Him. And so as we think about these things, there is the other side of this. We're reading about a blessing unto us, God's children. But at the very same time, we're motivated by how He has already, so in so many different ways, and at the very least, by His Son, that great sacrifice on our behalf, He has blessed us. And so the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The idea of bestowing that favor upon those who are maybe not deserving of it. Consider that for just a moment. The grace of God has appeared to all men, Paul said. That being the case, we know very well, even while Jesus was on this earth, that not all people were receptive of Him. Even His own family did not believe Him while He was on the earth. And yet He went to the cross and died for every man. He tasted death for every man. Those who were not deserving of it. We might need to be careful thinking that we were so deserving of it. Because what we deserved, according to God, was death. You go back to the Garden of Eden. But He had a plan. And so the high priest says, "The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." His face shining may also indicate that He's approving of our actions as we serve Him. This grace that came about through the Son, Jesus Christ, He came to bring grace and truth, John 1:17. This grace offered the whole of mankind salvation. And yet, Jesus Himself said that only a few will find it. Matthew 7:13-14. The Lord make His face shine upon thee, proving of our actions as we are in fellowship with Him, as we are walking in the light, obviously. And He blesses us. This last phrase, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." That peace is offered to those upon whom the Lord would lift His countenance. You think about that idea, this idea of His countenance. You remember, to help explain the idea of one's countenance, it's you have Moses who goes upon Mount Sinai and is there in the presence of God. And you remember when he comes back down, after he has seen God, rather seen the after effects of God, the hinder parts of God pass by as he was tucked deep in the cleft of the rock. You remember how the Bible says that his countenance shone, and it was so bright to the point that it was scary. Scared the children of Israel. And so he had to wear a veil, you remember. You think about Jesus upon a mountain as well, with a few of his closest disciples. And there he is, and his disciples see him talking with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, the one who would always stand up and say something in whatever situation he was, he would say something. And this, he says, "It's good for us to have been here. We'll make an altar unto each." And then the vision of them vanishes away, and there is Jesus standing there alone. And his countenance was different. And then the voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." There was obviously a point made there, but his countenance, the way that he looked, his very appearance had changed. You have, again, the idea from the previous verse, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." What you have here is essentially God approving of His faithful children. And there's no more beautiful thought than God being pleased with what we're doing here. And you think about that, and that should keep us going, right? That should keep us motivated, if anything does. And so you see why the Jews then might have adapted this that was done maybe one time of year. And the priestly benediction, as it were, the priestly blessing being given to them. But they did this after every service now. Well, this is why. Because it is truly encouraging and motivating to the child of God today, knowing that we, as God's faithful children, that He is approving of what we're doing. How can we know? How can we be so sure? Well, because I have His Word. And I can know what He wants me to do. And by doing that, He makes His face to shine upon me. His countenance is upon me. And then I have peace. You know, that idea of peace, you know, we understand, I think, at this point in our lives that we're going to have turmoil on a daily basis, that we're going to have difficulties, we're going to work through them. And I think about Brother Eddie's prayer this morning, and as we were closing, the words that were even in his prayer. We have faith that He's not going to leave us nor forsake us, because we're faithful unto Him, because we are true believers in Jesus Christ. In our actions, in our lives, in our words, they show forth that. They show forth Christ living in us. And so true peace then, what is that? Is it just the absence of war and difficulties and turmoil and trials and all of those things? No. Peace is in the midst of all that, finding tranquility and full assurance, knowing that God is with us, that He is approving of what we're doing, and that He is blessing us, watching over us, protecting us, providing for us. And so the faithful child of God has made available to him that peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4 and verse 7. We have peace in Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and verse 1. And God has promised us great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. Make thy face shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake, Psalm 31 verse 16. Today our high priest. I want you to read with me. Turn now to Hebrews chapter 4. Our high priest is Jesus Christ, the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, the only one who could make an atonement for us, the perfect Lamb of God, is now our high priest. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We know that God offers help to those who are in trouble, Psalm 46 and 1. We know that the psalmist praises God for his covenant of protection and salvation, Psalm 136. But the idea that now we can be confident, we can be bold, and boldly come before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. How so? Because we have that great high priest, the Hebrews writer calls him, Jesus Christ Himself, passed into the heavens, the Son of God. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. That should tell us right there that He knows what we're going through. He knows our difficulties. He knows everything that we're facing in life. And He's there to help. The high priest who gives this great blessing to us. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We can access these blessings only in Jesus Christ. Again, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so as we close this Lord's Day and this particular service, we offer an opportunity, an invitation, if you will, to make things right. If you're a child of God, yet you have sin in your life, I plead with you to make those things right so the Lord can continue to bless you. The Lord is ever present and wants us to simply turn back unto Him, make things right with Him, and forever walk following His commands. Maybe the case, there's one here this evening who's never obeyed the gospel, but you're thinking about these things and you like the idea of the God of heaven blessing you. Well, you should like that idea. There's nothing sweeter than that, and every child of God would agree with that. And so we would encourage you, if you have never obeyed the gospel, consider these things. Jesus simply says, if you believe that I am He, except we believe that He is the Son of God, then we'll die in our sins. We must believe Jesus to be the Son. We must be willing to confess it. We must be willing to take another step, and that is to repent of sin. And then take another step simply to be baptized to wash away sin. That's the plan that God has given. And He will bless us. But all things, these spiritual blessings, we're talking about forgiveness, washing away of sin. The only way to do that is in Jesus Christ. Again, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Also verse 7. So as we close and think about these things this evening, if we can help or encourage, come forward while we stand and sing.